This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Shaoning and Julian. Now, in Malaysian politics, the twists and turns just keep coming. And last night, in a dramatic turn of events, UMNO and PAS withdrew their support for Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad to continue as Prime Minister. And this announcement came at the end of a day which saw a series of meetings between Tun Mahathir and various party leaders, as well as continuing interviews between MPs and the Yang di-Pertuan Agong.
Meanwhile, reports citing political sources have come out that Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad is trying to establish a unity government under his personal authority, drawing together all the rival parties. The idea of a unity government has been rejected by the Barisan National parties as well as PAS.
Yeah, they have, after deciding to withdraw their support from Mahathir, UMNO and PAS are now calling for snap elections, right? And somebody that has expressed tentative support, meanwhile, for the unity government is Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah, one of the 11 MPs that left PKR along with Datuk Sri Azmin Ali. He's back on Twitter reiterating his firm support for Tun Dr. Mahathir and says that a unity government should be considered among the people of Azmin's 11. Let's call them that now, have also come out to say that they support Tun Dr. Mahathir, including Baru Bien and Zuraida Karmarudin.
So how do we make sense of all of these goings on? Well, this morning we have on the line with us Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director of the Merdeka Centre, for some analysis. Thank you for joining us this morning, Ben. Now, first, let's take a look at UMNO and PAS, because they've called for snap elections rather than support Tun Dr. Mahathir's unity government. Do you think that they're doing this because they think that snap elections might work in their favour, or will it perhaps backfire instead?
Thanks for having me on. I think, you know, the call by UMNO and PAS leaders yesterday to call for snap election rather than join the unity government, I think, you know, stems from their belief, and this is a pre-existing belief before all of this issues have cropped up, that based on the current sentiments amongst voters, PAS and UMNO cooperating together will do quite well in an election, particularly in the Malay areas. Given that Malay areas comprise, you know, about 100 to 110 parliamentary seats across the country, you know, the just a back of an envelope calculation, you know, estimates that they can potentially win, you know, 90 to 95 seats if they were able to cooperate. And so that is a fallback position for PAS and UMNO, that if they are bid to join a government with leaders from Bersatu and others, fails, they can always either call for snap elections or wait until the next elections roll by, because they do believe that as things currently stand, the support of the majority Muslim population is with them. And in fact, there's some basis for this, because if you look at the numerous by-elections that we've had in Peninsula Malaysia, like in Semenyih, in Cameron Highlands, in Tanjung Piai just last November, majority of the Malay voters, perhaps, you know, numbering up to 80%, threw or cast their votes for Barisan National candidates. And so in a cooperation with UMNO and PAS, you will potentially see them do very well. That's one point. Second point is that they cannot work with the DAP. I mean, that is their position. They stand on the Malay right-wing spectrum of the politics, and therefore they can't reach out to the other end of the political spectrum, because that will dilute their support amongst their own base.
And Ben, if you look at the actual numbers of the MPs right now, UMNO has 39, PAS has 18. This just barely brings them up to about 50, 60. And with the Azmin faction revealing their true colours, it would be hard-pressed for that particular faction to amount to anything should a snap election be called, right? So it does look like the numbers seem pretty challenging.
Yeah, I mean, certainly UMNO and PAS, you know, currently do not command any sizable block. You know, they perhaps amongst the two of them come up to about 50, 60 seats. And therefore, the call for snap election right now is actually moot, in the sense that it won't pass muster. You know, the scenario for a snap election could only arise if, you know, time passes and the Prime Minister couldn't form a stable government, a coalition amongst the various parties, and therefore, you know, has to take it back to the people. So that is still, I think, a long way off. So, you know, UMNO and PAS, you know, has that problem. The other problem is that I think reading between the lines, while PAS may be solid as a disciplined party, UMNO itself is not. It is riven by factionalism as well. And so this is in many ways to pull out from the, you know, the earlier negotiations and set the party aside and therefore cast anybody else as trying to negotiate on their own faction, you know, as outlaws from within the party ranks.
And Ben, meanwhile, sources say that, of course, Tun Mahathir is planning to establish a unity government. So what's your understanding of this?
Well, I think this was an original idea that, you know, Pakatan Harapan, as it previously stood, had narrow Malay support in the sense that, you know, electorally, it only captured less than a quarter of the Malay votes. And parties like Bersatu, you know, originally just had 13 MPs and then, you know, grew because of the influx of dissidents from UMNO. And so the idea was that they needed to expand so that they have a more representative mix of the cross-section of the Malaysian electorate. And so since they already have sizable non-Malay representation in the party, the idea was that they need to expand on the Malay side of the political spectrum. So that remains. The question now is, you know, how wide can such a unity government be? Perhaps, you know, the real term is not unity, but rather cross-party. People from different parties who may not be in a coalition together, forming a joint cabinet for the sake of national interest, at least for the remainder of the current political term.
But talking about governments, right? So Pakatan Harapan have come out to say that their coalition is still very much intact after its presidential council meeting. But so what lies ahead for the coalition moving forward? Will it come out stronger or weaker as a result of all of these political machinations?
Well, you know, as a coalition, Pakatan Harapan is pretty much intact, as they have actually said. You know, between AMANA, DAP and PKR, they have between them 92 members of parliament. So in order for them to form government, they just need the influx of just, you know, maybe just under 20 more MPs and then they can form government. And so they still need to reach across the aisle. And there's all this talk about parties from Sabah, parties from Sarawak joining in and then forming a coalition government. So that's one. But the other issue is representativeness. You know, if they just go ahead and bring parties from East Malaysia and thereby neglecting the Malay parties in West Malaysia, it will again be an unstable government and then become prone to continuous politicking and become subject to increased polarizing identity politics. So it doesn't really solve the problem. What really is needed is to expand the Malay representation in government and ideally, you know, bringing back people from Bersatu and perhaps some people from UMNO who are willing to try a reform agenda.
Ben, I don't know. Just going back to the idea of the Malay voting base, I don't know whether you've played the game Politico, the card game. And in it, the game highlights that there is very liberal Malays, as progressive Malays, and then there are the very conservative Malays. So it is actually not a done deal that the Malay voting bank will vote one way, therefore giving quite a lot of strength, possible strength to the Anwar faction. Would you say?
Yeah, I think that is the current challenge. We look at, you know, not just survey results, but actual data from the recent by-elections we've had. And let's say in a bellwether seat like Semenye, which took place over nearly a year ago, March 2019, you can see that in that constituency, only, you know, less than 30%, perhaps 20-25% voted for the PH candidate. And the rest of them, 20-75%, voted for the UMNO candidate. And so you have a very, very polarized electoral base. It also speaks of the inability for the Malay parties inside Pakatan Harapan, parties like AMANA and Bersatu, and to some extent PKR, to extend their appeal beyond just the leadership layer. These parties does not have strong grassroots outreach and therefore can't really change the narrative that's happening within the Malay community on the ground. And even if you look at social media, the bulk of Malay social media content is pushed by UMNO and PAS. And so you do have strong contestation there, but it is dominated by parties that are not in Pakatan Harapan. So it goes on to show that even if Pakatan Harapan forms government with Dato' Sri Anwar at its leadership, it is still going to be confronted by the same sort of challenges.
And Ben, I want to talk about Azmin and his band of 10, right? They seem to have waged a pact with UMNO and PAS. But now, you know, you see some of them also voicing support for Tun Dr. Mahathir. So where does that leave them? We seem to get mixed messaging from this group.
Well, the group has always professed support for Dr. Mahathir. And I think the issue right now is whether they did what they had done with his blessing, or they assumed that he had supported them and then went ahead and carried it out. And therefore, I think as things, the current narrative is unfolding, they are being blamed for the collapse of the Pakatan Harapan government. And because of that, other parties inside Pakatan Harapan, I think the DAP and I think PKR as well, you know, will be loath to accept them back in their ranks. And that becomes a bit of a problem, I think, for the Prime Minister, because I think if he needs to form a government, he needs, you know, every MP that he can get, and ideally MPs that are aligned to the Pakatan Harapan agenda and not from parties that were in UMNO or in PAS. And so that puts them in this limbo, this kind of grey zone where, you know, they're not quite with the opposition, but they're not quite with the Pakatan Harapan people as well. So, and there is a level of toxicity that's building up with respect to public perception towards them. And so I think they're going to be out there for a while until there's a way to rehabilitate, you know, the image and also the public perception towards them.
Ben, can I just ask you to make a wager here? If there was a snap election, who do you think would come out victorious?
I mean, the situation is quite messy in the sense that, you know, you have an electoral, the electoral districts are still the same ones that has been there since, you know, 2013. And therefore, it is heavily weighted in favor of the Malay electorate. You have PAS and UMNO that I think increasingly is working together. So between the two parties, they have, you know, perhaps at least 70-75% support amongst the Malay community, which means that given the fact that about 100 parliamentary seats, you know, comprised of Malay majority voters, you know, amounting to 70% or more, these two parties working together could just get, you know, 95 seats on their own without support from, without a single vote from the non-Malay community. So by and large, you will end up with a situation, so this is just speculation, that with a very large PAS UMNO component in Peninsula Malaysia, perhaps occupying 95 to 100 seats out of the 165 in Peninsula Malaysia, and then they can cut a deal with parties on Sabah and Sarawak to form a new coalition government. And so you will then see, you know, the rump of PKR comprising mostly of non-Malay parliamentarians and the DAP guys, you know, relegated back to the opposition and a largely non-Malay opposition, creating a very polarized political landscape.
And thank you very much for your insight this morning, Ben. That was Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Centre, helping us to make sense of the mess that we're currently seeing in our political landscape right now. But at the moment, we're heading into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And then after that, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where Julian Ng and Wang Xiaoning speak with Dato' Dr. Rais Hussein, CEO of Emir Research. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.